The following podcast is for information purposes only and is not suitable for retail investors.
Hello and welcome to this week's Chart of the Week podcast. Today is Thursday, the 9th of February, and I'm once again joined by Lorenzo Laposta. Now, this week, Lorenzo and I were looking at the IMF report on the outlook for G7 countries. And the one thing that stood out for both Lorenzo and I was that the UK would be the only G7 country that would contract in terms of output this year. Even Russia, which is currently involved in an expensive attritional war with Ukraine, would perform better. And while Lorenzo and I were discussing this, it soon became apparent that Lorenzo's outlook for the UK economically was not just for this year, but also for several years ahead, was far bleaker than mine, similar to the IMF's. So, Lorenzo, why don't you kick us off by explaining why exactly the UK is in such a difficult position at the moment?
Hi, Ben. Thanks, as always, for having me in this podcast. And I couldn't have said it any better than yourself, actually. I'm not very positive on the UK economy over the medium term. The UK is struggling because of widespread problems such as elevated inflation that is obviously damaging consumer demand and economic growth locally. And even though inflation has peaked, expectations are still far above target. The raising rates by central banks to tackle these inflation problems will determine a further slowdown in economic activity in the country. Consumer confidence is just around all-time lows. And one survey data that we often look at is the PMI's Purchasing Managers Index that speaks to companies in the services and manufacturing sectors to understand whether they are planning or expect a contraction in economic activity or an expansion. And these indices currently, both in services and manufacturing, are pointing towards a significant contraction over the next year. There's many elements pointing towards a weak economic outlook for the UK. Obviously, it's not just the UK that is in this situation, but certainly there is a lot of risk ahead, not to mention the structural issues that the UK is facing, such as Brexit. That is a ever-present problem with the country, but also a low productivity rate.
The UK is definitely facing some issues at the moment, that's for sure, in terms of the macroeconomic environment. But are there really no reasons to be optimistic? You know, we saw, you mentioned inflation, and of course that's been a problem. But it was largely the energy crisis driven by the Russia-Ukraine war that drove that. And we're now seeing energy prices fall quite rapidly. Consumer confidence is obviously, has been affected. But actually, if you look at the data, the balance sheets, especially as we came out of the pandemic, were really quite strong. So that's definitely helped consumers throughout the difficult economic environment that we've seen over the past year. And, I can also mention other maybe more positive macroeconomic indicators. Elsewhere in the world, strong recoveries in Europe, the reopening of China. Can we not expect the benefit of those to spill over into the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the UK is a basket case. And certainly all of these things you've mentioned are positives, but they are all maybes, not guarantees. And what's instead very present right now in the economy is some structural issues very cemented in the country. For example, the UK is facing a strong productivity problem. Productivity as measured by the GDP produced per hour worked. So it's a measure of how efficient the labor is being, is effectively been stagnating since the global financial crisis in 2008. The output per hour worked has fallen drastically behind other developed nations, and it may be indicative of serious underlying issues such as poor quality education or lack of capital investments. Productivity is very important for growth in developed countries, especially because we are not growing as a population. So the demographics are not helping in economic growth, and you need improved and increased productivity to compensate for that. So you can spend all day talk about inflation and interest rates, but the reality is that our workforce is falling behind our main competition, and that's certainly not very good over the long run.
It's interesting that you mentioned productivity because, while I'll admit there's certainly been a problem for the UK and the UK's workforce, I think there are signs that we might actually be at a turning point for the UK's productivity problem. Like I mentioned earlier, we've got unemployment at all-time lows, and UK businesses are facing massive vacancies in a lot of areas, and that can be problematic. All sorts of reports have indicated that businesses are struggling to increase output because of these vacancies. But what that does also mean is that because the UK isn't able to rely on abundant, cheap labour, businesses are instead forced to change their strategies and change their operations in order to deal with the shortages. We've recently seen an increase in businesses not only investing in better and more efficient capital, which you mentioned was a problem, but also things like improved training programs for workers. Could this potentially be a sign that the times are changing in terms of the UK's productivity issues?
Well, I hope you're right in the first place, and yeah, we have been seeing some improvements there. But this labor shortage is a symptom of another structural problem of the UK. That is Brexit. We don't hear much about Brexit these days. It's been a long time since the referendum happened, and now we have more urgent problems to fix globally. But the Brexit has been damaging the economy, and even if the productivity problem maybe is easing slightly, there may be still not enough demand to drive growth. The UK has isolated itself from its main trading partner, the European Union, and there's been an adverse impact in trade volumes between the two regions. And this might be temporary. Levels may recover, but there have been other more permanent effects. For example, financial services are a key part of the UK economy. Despite that, we have seen several businesses moving their operations out of the UK into Europe. So, some of these Brexit consequences will be felt for many years to come.
Oh, I can't help but feel that people might be very quick to write off the UK, especially with the impacts of Brexit, which I'll happily admit have been difficult for the UK. While there were some adverse effects, I still believe there are many strengths in the UK economy. The energy crisis last year especially showed the strength and the world leading ability that the UK has when it comes to things like renewable energy production, especially in areas like hydropower and wind. As gas prices rose, people looked for other energy sources, and I think the UK is a world leader in that area, especially as we see a transition from fossil fuels to more green opportunities. Except for things like renewables, the UK is also a world leader in innovation. There's a massive startup culture in the UK, and while I'll admit the outlook for the UK this year is bleak and sentiment is low, I wouldn't be so quick to write off the UK.
Well, on that, I agree with you, Ben. I'm not writing the UK off. I was just pointing out that the economic outlook, the macroeconomic outlook, is not great for the country. But as investors, we don't just care about economy. We care about the stock market. We care about the businesses that we're able to invest in and what their outlook is, which very often is almost independent from the economic situation of the country they're operating in. And as you say, there is a very interesting startup mindset here in the country. There is great companies out there, and also thanks to this, the Brexit, to this bad economic outlook, the UK stock market is trading at very cheap valuations. And especially if you look among the small and mid-cap names, there is some very interesting companies there that are not very pricey, but offering excellent technologies, excellent services, and they are being disruptors in the global markets. So, we like to take advantage of that. And actually, from a pure stock market level, we are relatively positive to the UK. So we have been taking advantage of that with our active managers that should be able to produce excellent returns over the long run, despite everything that is happening.
Well, Lorenzo, as always, it's been fascinating discussing it with you, and thank you for the insights.
Well, thank you very much, Ben, and see you next week.
For professional advisors only. The views expressed are those of Momentum Global Investment Management at the time of recording and are subject to change without notice. Momentum Global Investment Management has used all reasonable efforts to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this communication, but we cannot guarantee the reliability, completeness, or accuracy of the content. This podcast is for information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell. Momentum Global Investment Management, company registration number 3733094, has its registered office at the Rex Building, 62 Queen Street, London, EC4R1EB. Momentum Global Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the United Kingdom, registration number 232357, and is exempt from the requirements of Section 7(1) of the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act 37 of 2002 in South Africa, in terms of the FSCA FAIS Notice 141 of 2021, published on the 15th of December 2021. For complaint relating to Momentum Global Investment Management's financial services, please contact distribution services at momentum.co.uk. Your capital is at risk.